All right, Abraham, let's go to Galatians 3. We're continuing the consecration, the seven consecrations of Abraham. Okay, I want to. Yesterday we talked about him leaving the land and all of the sort of extra-biblical background stuff that talked about that. Today I just want to talk about just what the New Testament says about Abraham that sort of sets the stage. Chapter 3 of Galatians. It starts out by saying, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently or manifestly or completely, or you know, he's been set before your eyes. Who hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now the word law there is noma. It means the way a thing works. In other words, have you received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now the works of the law include every act that you have in which you have a principle or a plan for. It's if Christ is the fullness of everything, that in him you are totally 100% complete, in him you are perfected, in him you own all things, and all the other fullness of Christ that we've talked about, then there is nowhere else but him and in him to the Father to go for any possible situation that you can be in. And he's saying now, O foolish Galatians, or O foolish you all, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you for the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now, when you read commentaries, it says, well, they were talking about the Judaizers who were bringing in the need to get circumcised or the need to do some other Jewish law. But it's much more complete than that. Remember, we just studied in Colossians, set your affection on things above, seek those things above. So you don't use that which is cursed to gain that which is blessed. Your entire mind and your emotions and your plans and your ambitions and your all of that is of the flesh and it has been cursed. So the question is, who hath bewitched you that you should run this race in vain? You got it? Everybody understand that premise? Okay, now, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know you therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations or all people be blessed.
So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are under the works of the law are under the curse.
Incredible statement. If you're under the way a thing works, you're still operating under the curse. If you're under cause and effect, you're operating under the curse. If you're under reward and punishment, you're operating under the curse. If you're under principles of living, you're under the curse. There is nothing excluded. Everybody see that? I don't think you do. Talk to me.
We spent last night talking about Ecclesiastes 3 and 4. And, I mean, it all boils down to be here now. Live this moment in joy, period. Which is the same thing.
Okay, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them.
Period. If you don't do everything that the law requires, including returning to Jerusalem, finding the ashes of the red heifer, finding the Ark of the Covenant, building the temple perfectly according to the plan, plus all of the laws of the Sabbath, all the laws of the offering, finding the perfect red heifer, finding the perfect sheep and other animals for sacrifice. If you don't let Christ do everything, if you don't see the fulfillment of Him as all and in all, then you have to do everything.
I think when people read that, they think that instead of all, it's talking about, like, most people, you know, are under the curse, except for those small group of people who are actually getting it right. And then in your mind, you think, maybe I can be one of those small group of people, but it says they're all, you know, under the curse. It's not like somebody's actually getting this done right.
In order to understand the consecrations of Abraham, you have to understand how completely he understood the curse. In order to understand what it means to live in the Spirit, you have to completely understand how totally the human race is under the curse in all the acts of the human race. And it's something I don't think you understand.
Well, I don't.
What does under the curse mean?
Yeah.
Go to Genesis 3. I guess no matter what we do, we always go back to Genesis, so I guess that's kind of important. Okay, the first thing that happened, start in let's go to verse 12. And the man said, in verse 11. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Who told you that you needed something? Who told you that you had to begin to go X, Y, Z, and if I do this, this will happen? Who told you that? Who told you you weren't complete? And the Father was in total control, and He would give you everything you needed at the right time.
Like, who gave you self-awareness?
Who told you you were naked? Where's... Go check your little... There's another little dog and an old woman's walking it. And your dog is a chain.
Protect the old woman.
From Maddie. Yeah. Who told you were naked? Who told you needed something? Who told you? Who told you was the evil counselor, the same one that told... It's the same snake that told Eve. Do you really believe that there was this slithery snake that was talking, that was wrapped around a tree and was talking to Eve?
Yeah, for a long time.
You really believe that Christ was in the wilderness and this being called Satan came, appeared suddenly with, he was red and he had horns and he had a pitchfork and he had a tail, and he was saying to Christ, you know, turn the stones into bread and you won't be hungry anymore. It was their minds.
But when I first read that figure, that's what it seemed like to me, and there was no indication to me at that time that this was...
You ever seen a talking snake?
No.
You ever heard of one?
No.
Do you understand that snakes have no capacity to vocalize?
Right. Back then, I'm thinking that, you know...
So things were different back then. So you can dismiss it, the past, as well as you can say it's just another way of dispensationalizing life.
Now, this particular snake was able to talk. I didn't know if all snakes could talk. I believe what I read here is that it was a snake.
The Bible says it. I believe it. That's done it. Okay, but the New Testament says that you are the snake. That's what the first thing that... I get it. The way our minds work, it's we dismiss us from the... All of Jerusalem and all of Israel came out to be baptized of John. And John looked at them. The ones that were repentant and agreed to go to the other side and agreed that they weren't worthy, he baptized. Baptize Christ to fulfill all righteousness. And what did he say to everyone else? He said, "You generation of vipers." Well, that's not metaphorically. He's speaking. He says what it literally means is, "You sons of the snake, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruit necessary for repentance." Bring forth, therefore, fruit necessary to leave the snake behind. It's like I'm talking to the ceiling.
It's like Jacob wrestling with the angel.
Jacob never used his own name until he met the angel at Peniel. Because his name, Jacob, in Hebrew means the way of the snake. He wrestled with him. And the angel said, "Tell me your name." So Jacob said, "Tell me your name. Tell me your name first." And he wrestled and wrestled, and finally Jacob says, "My name is Jacob." Before that, he said, "I'm the son of..." Was he the son of? I love you guys. Who's Jacob and Esau?
Isaac.
Twins.
Isaac.
And son of Isaac.
Son of Abraham.
So he said, "I'm the son of Isaac." Even when he introduced himself to his wife, he said, "I'm the son of Isaac." The angel said, "No, you're not. Your name is Jacob. Your name is the way of the snake. You are the Antichrist." And is
By saying I'm the son of Isaac, he's saying I'm the inheritor of the promise.
Right. I'm not the snake. I'm not under the curse. Does that sound familiar? Is it gelling any?
I have a question.
What's your name, Ronnie? My name is the Antichrist. When you can hear that, then the promise is yours, because you know you're worthy only of death. You can agree with Paul. If Paul said he was the chief of sinners, that means he was worse. He's saying if that's the case, he was worse than Satan. But he's saying he is the same as Satan. I am the chief of sinners. So he's saying, I am the instead of Christ. I am the Antichrist. That's what each one of us has to confess. Then we willingly go to the cross. We willingly accept the fact that we did die on the cross. We stop the game. We stop acting as if we're something. We know that everything about us except Christ in us, the hope of glory, is under the curse. We know that we are intended and meant to be broken vessels. And from then on, we see only Christ. We don't see ourselves, as we've talked about so often, when 99.999% of the world look, everything is a reflection, is a mirror. How does this affect me? What does this mean to me? Especially true when they look at the Bible. What does that mean to me? The manufacturer's handbook. I'm going to go in here and find out. It means absolutely nothing to you except to die. Or to accept your death. And everything in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation says this. If you have eyes to see. His own right arm, his own seed has now gotten him the victory. So those in Christ are a new race. They're no longer of the human being. They're no longer of Adam. If Jesus Christ was the last Adam, who are you? If your grandfather died at birth, who are you? This has got to get somewhere. It's got to get cemented in you, anchored, so that you know that you're never again deceived by that which is of the curse. Does that communicate?
Yeah.
Does that communicate? Everybody say amen?
Amen.
It's a big deal. That's why we're studying Abraham right now, because he saw it. Abraham, even though he was chosen, he struggled and struggled and struggled and didn't see the promise for 100 years. When he finally began to understand, and it was cemented in him, his name was changed from Abram to Abraham. Can we go back and read what it says in Genesis? We haven't even read where we're supposed to get to. How did I get off on all that? It's Ronnie's fault. Does that mean I'm crazy?
Yeah, I figured these people heard you.
They know.
They needed to know.
You were asking for our benefit.
Ronnie? Yeah.
Yes. Thank you.
Again, the good Levite has appeared. Even when it first appeared like he wasn't the good Levite.
So when you wrestle with the angel, you can tell him your name is the good Levi. Thanks to Ronnie, I now understand why in the folk tales vampires don't reflect in mirrors. So they can't see themselves.
Oh, God. Deliver me from folk tales. Movies. Genesis 3, verse 11. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat? And the man said, The woman that thou gave me with, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. The woman did it. And the Lord said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me. Sound familiar? Joyce Anna made me do it. The woman.
That still sounds like there was some other creature that she saw, that she perceived, that she could blame.
You can do with this whatever you want to. Just understand what happened, okay? Ronnie is saying to you, have I suffered so much in vain? The serpent beguiled me and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the serpent,
Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Now that means a whole lot more. Serpents don't eat dust. But what the human race does is gain their sustenance from dust. That's what you've eaten to give you meaning and to give you sustenance and to give you satisfaction. You've eaten the fruit of the dust.
Oh, look at those great. How are the cowboys doing?
Oh, I feel great because the cowboys won. They're 22-6 or whatever they are. Oh, the Mavericks won. Isn't that great? Oh, isn't that a great movie? Oh. No, it's not. It's a bunch of dust. We are to gain our sustenance and our satisfaction from Him and Him alone. Does that communicate? Instead of eating dust, that's what the human race eats, and there's no dust, you know, I mean, what happens? Pretty soon, you're constantly hungry. Then you eat garments, which are also made from dust, because you eat what you're doing. That's why the question that everybody asks is, what do you do? What do you do? What do you do?
I'm a professional snake.
People better not ask me that ever again.
How's it going?
Yeah, well, that's a gotta go. How's it going? Well, I love small talk.
It's happened.
Yeah, man. Yeah. What's happening? What's happening, dude? Whatever the current lingo is. It's just eating dust. I will put enmity between thee and the woman. And between thy seed and her seed. Now, the woman doesn't have a seed. It says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between your seed, your sperm and her sperm, or your offspring and her offspring. But it says, it doesn't say offspring, it says sperm. Woman doesn't have sperm. So it has to be talking about Christ. It shall bruise or overcome or overwhelm or wipe out thy head. Thou shalt bruise or mess up his heel. Best you can do is affect how you walk or you conduct your life for a little while. But he has overcome. Christ has overcome. The seed of woman has overcome, wiped out the seed of the serpent. Do you really understand that? Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and has eaten of the tree from which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. Whenever in the scriptures it talks about, remember, Esau, there's Jacob and Esau, the twins, right? Everybody's a twin in the Bible. Cain and Abel were twins. Jacob and Esau were twins. A bunch of others. Well, I'll go into it now. Jacob and Esau. Esau became a great nation. Edom. It became Edom is the flesh. Okay? Jacob, same damn twin,
Except he saw who he was. And so his name was changed to Israel, she who sees God. Became a new being because he saw. Remember, what you see is what you do. What you hear is what you see. What you see is what you do. Automatically. That's the way you are. So Jacob saw the curse, and then the line of blessing continued. The type of Christ continued in him. Edom, the flesh, didn't see nothing. And they've been the curse ever since. The best they can do is eat of the, well, what it says. Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground because of you, or for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. That's all that man is capable of doing, is gaining his sustenance and his satisfaction from the ground, from things he eats of the ground. Do you really understand this? That's why thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What is the word that proceedeth out of the mouth that shall not return unto him void? It's not the Bible, that's words about the word. The word of God is Jesus Christ. So we now eat of him. He alone is our sustenance. He alone is our satisfaction. And the more we eat of him, the less we shall be attracted to anything that has to do of the curse, eating of the fruit of the curse.
I was thinking about the word curse. You know, we don't really have a concept of what that means unless you're from some culture that does that kind of stuff, evil eye or something. But it's like, it's bad. You know,
curse
it's like really bad.
Curse is, if the ground, if the entire world is cursed, it means the entire, and if you are made of that world, you are of the flesh, then everything you do is cursed.
It means like no matter how what it looks like, you could be doing it really good, but it's cursed. It's going to, you know, at some point it's going to be so screwed up that you're going to be worse, 10 times worse off than
since you're eating of that, then you will live in sorrow all the days of your life. Well, if you haven't seen it now, you're a bunch of idiots. I was talking to Miguel yesterday. That's why teenagers are when they're rebelling because they know everything is fucked up. Excuse me, I can't see. Excuse me. They know everything is all screwed up. There is no life in anything. That's when God's most of the disciples were teenagers. And he said, and unto Adam God said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Everything that man does is eating of the ground. Either the ground of them, you are the earthen vessel, bringing forth things from your own idea or your own imagination or your own emotions, or literally bringing forth something of the ground. It's cursed. And in sorrow, whatever you do, it may provide a moment of happiness, but it'll end up in sorrow. The most successful people in the world, they're just jokes. The most powerful people in the world, no less than you do. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. And you're going to eat the thing that come out of the earth, but it's not going to give you any lasting sustenance.
it's just going to bring you satisfaction. Oh, that's a great meal. And pretty soon it ends up as crap.
Does the word sorrow there have any particular kind of meaning? I mean, is it disappointment? Is it?
Yeah, it means that it shall. It's the same kind of word as ashamed. Nothing shall satisfy. It shall bring you. It all shall return to the feeling of the curse. In the sweat of thy face shall thou eat thy bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Don't you see, that's why in Christ you're a new race? He that believeth on him shall never die, because that which is came from God is now your life. He's the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And everyone that comes to the end of themselves and calls out, there he is.
Think of the woman at the well where he said, living water, that you'll thirst no more.
And thirst no more, you'll hunger no more. Thirst. That's why when we have communion, you should have communion every time you eat. Every time you drink, you have it's the wine or the blood, because that alone gives you worth. The bread alone, the Christ alone gives you sustenance and satisfaction. We are saved by his life, not by learning about him, by him. I did it again. I didn't even get to anything about it. Joy Santa's fault, Ronnie's fault, everybody's fault but mine.
So everybody's fault but mine.
If one were to listen to the first 5 minutes, one would be wrong in what would label it.
Just label it the curse.
Yeah, but you'd have to listen to the whole thing to know that. So maybe.
We talked about Abraham.
But Abraham saw his day and was glad. And was glad because he saw. All righty. Anybody? Any response? And you don't get out of the curse by saying I'm not under it. Proof is you die. You're just going to live a few years and you're going to die. And everybody will forget you. Well, there might be one or two of you that, oh, somebody will remember you. But you're going to die. And everything you thought was important was meaningless.
I should have mentioned poison ivy in there amongst the thistles and thorns.
It's implied. All right. Take it, big guy.